Most of us are becoming more aware of children, teenagers, and adults who identify as transgender, but a growing number of people don't think of themselves as either male or female. They may call themselves gender fluid or gender queer, and with hormones or surgery, they're adjusting their bodies to create physical identities that match their emotional and psychological state of mind. WBUR's Martha Biebinger explains.
Meet Devin Jones, a 27-year-old author who lives in Dorchester.
These days, I generally identify as gender fluid. I still use male pronouns he, him, his, but I don't identify as strictly like one gender or another.
I catch Jones at South Station on his lunch break. He holds off eating to tell me about testosterone, the hormone he started taking about 5 years ago. As his body started to change, Jones realized that a lower voice and facial hair were the only male characteristics he really wanted.
Since I felt like I wanted to have my pronouns be he and him, like it would be easier for people to give me those pronouns sort of as a default if they heard that voice, if they saw my face looking a certain way.
But Jones did not like some of the hormones' effects.
If you go on testosterone therapy, it will send fat deposits from areas like your thighs and breasts into, like, your neck, your stomach. You know, last year I realized that, like, that wasn't really the look I was ultimately going for. I wanted to still have breasts that had substance to them, like they'd really shrunk, and I sort of wanted that back.
Jones also wanted the option of getting pregnant, something he couldn't do while on testosterone. So he stopped. The changes to his voice are permanent, but the hair on Jones' face doesn't grow as quickly, and his body fat has shifted back.
You know, I have a more, like, feminine, curvy shape, but I'm more comfortable now with people being confused, too. It's an evolving process. It's weird to be in the middle of it right now, actually, and talking about it, but, yeah.
It's molding my body to fit my mind.
That's Dale Jackson's summary of the gender-fluid medical process. Jackson is a 33-year-old author who lives in Atlanta. He's taking a low dose of testosterone for two reasons. Jackson worries that a full dose would exacerbate his anxiety, and a half dose helps him moderate the effects.
I like the idea of being in the middle. This allows me to explore my masculine side, but I don't want to push it too far.
Jackson doesn't want a big bushy beard.
Or if my arms suddenly were just so hairy that gorillas were looking at me like, is that our cousin?
But how do doctors know how much testosterone or estrogen will produce the effects these patients are looking for?
To a certain extent, we're sort of making it up, but I'd like to think of it more as finessing the regimens that we have based on the individual person's desires and needs.
Dr. Tim Cavanaugh runs the transgender program at Fenway Health. So far, in the emerging world of transgender medicine, the guidelines assume patients want to end up at one end of the spectrum or the other, male or female.
They really don't address sort of this idea of gender spectrum or gender fluidity, but we see it a lot.
Cavanaugh estimates that 100 to 150 of Fenway's transgender patients are gender fluid. He says helping them use hormones to reach a gender-neutral state is not easy.
Especially with testosterone. Testosterone is very potent, and even when we try to prescribe low doses, every individual person responds to those medications in a different way, responds to testosterone in a different way.
There are doctors who are uncomfortable with the idea of experimenting with medicine to fit changing social norms, says Dr. Marion Craighill. She chairs the Committee on Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Matters at the Massachusetts Medical Society.
But from the point of view of the Medical Society, this represents a population in Massachusetts that is underserved. We are definitely looking for more and more places to get good and appropriate medical care.
Some providers are guided by traditional Catholic or other religious teachings that frown on any biological manipulation that changes the body. But Father Jim Bretzky, who teaches moral theology at Boston College, says there's a vigorous debate underway about gender theory that is testing that teaching.
There is a line that would like to say there are only two genders and that they are tied physically into the female genitalia and the male genitalia, whereas many other theologians would argue that, at least to some extent, gender is a product of social construction.
At Fenway Health, Dr. Kavanaugh says it's clear that there are lots of people whose looks do not match the way we traditionally define male and female.
I hope that culturally we can become more comfortable with that idea. Hormones and surgery are always going to be options for people, but I actually really hope that we won't feel compelled to use them as much as we do now.
But for now, some gender fluid patients say they cannot find peace without medical intervention. Tan Shapiro is a 33-year-old teacher and a parent who had surgery to create a flatter, more masculine-looking chest.
I had an incredible amount of dysphoria around my chest. It was consuming. I got to the point where, in order for me to thrive and to do the work that I wanted to be able to do and to just live my life, I needed to have surgery.
Some strangers assume Shapiro is a teenage boy. Others, that Shapiro is female. But Shapiro does not plan any more surgery or hormone therapy.
Where I'm at is where I'm at, and I feel good about myself.
In a space, says Shapiro, somewhere between male and female. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.